Welcome to the Destiny Youth Podcast. Destiny Youth is the youth ministry of Destiny Church based in Glasgow. Thanks for listening.
So the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, right? People know about God the Father. Everyone knows about God. The majority of people that see a church, they say, oh, they worship God. Most people know about Jesus. Jesus is undeniable. Historically, he's undeniable. He was here. He's real. The only thing that you can deny is whether or not he was the Son of God. But lastly, we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the least welcome, the least acknowledged, and the least understood of the Trinity within the modern church. So the Holy Spirit is how you encounter God in deeper ways and hear his voice. So whenever you're worshiping here and then you have that feeling coming up in your spirit, you feel emotions that you know are not normally your emotions. You feel a peace, a joy that you can't explain. Some people shake and feel jittery. Some people feel weak. Some people fall over. That something that you're feeling is not a something, it's a someone, and it's the Holy Spirit. He is the presence and power of God that comes to dwell with you when you receive him. So God is everywhere, yeah? He's omnipresent. His presence is everywhere, correct? But there is a deeper indwelling of his presence. When we go back to Exodus and we look at Moses and the Israelites, God's presence was with the Israelites, but that deeper tangible presence was with Moses on the mountain. The Israelites did not experience that deeper presence. Moses did, until God came down with his tangible presence, sat on the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies within the tabernacle, and then eventually the temple. That is the tangible presence of God, when you feel him near you. Not only is it the presence, it's the power of God. The Holy Spirit is your connection to the power of God. Think of it like this. This is an amazing thing. You can pull up any picture, any video, any fact. Your dryer breaks. You can figure out how to fix it. But what happens when this runs out of power? It's a brick. It's pretty much useless. When it runs out of power, is it still an iPhone? Is it still branded as an iPhone? Could you still sell it for a good amount of money? Even though there's no power, you can still sell it for what it's worth because it's worth the price. We are the exact same way. When you accept Jesus, you're branded as a son, as a daughter of God. He paid the price for you. You are worth something. But when there's no power, it doesn't matter how good the camera is. It doesn't matter all of the stuff that's inside of it. When there's no power to operate, it's a brick. Still has its worth, but it's missing out on its functions. Power is God. The Holy Spirit is the charging cable. You have to be connected in order to have that power. So you might say, well, how do I connect to the Holy Spirit? How do I know that I have that power? How do I even know the Holy Spirit? To know the Holy Spirit, then you have to know the holiness of God. So stop and think about why God calls it what he calls it, why he calls the Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit. He didn't say the good spirit. He didn't say the cool spirit, the Holy Spirit. In the original Hebrew, it's called Ruach HaKodesh. So it's two different words. Ruach meaning breath, breath of life, the wholeness of a being, the wholeness of a person. So in Genesis, when God breathes into Adam, in the Hebrew Bible, it's described as the Ruach, the wholeness of God into Adam, the breath of life. And then HaKodesh meaning the Holy One. So it is the breath of the Holy One. It is the spirit of the Holy One that comes to help you. You might have noticed in the Destiny Youth logo, there's something above it. It's EX33. Navlin was the first to figure it out, I think. It stands for Exodus 33. Because that is the heart's cry of this ministry, is Exodus 33. I encourage you, go read Exodus 33 at some point. If you don't, you're a coward. So Exodus 33, it's all about Moses and his connection with the tangible presence of God, the importance of this connection with God. So if we pick up in verse 13, Moses is talking to God and he says, "If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find your favor." This is what we pray with our kids every night. We have them repeat this. Remember that this nation is your people. So teach me your ways. What are the ways of God? Holiness. Skipping down to verse 15. And Moses said to the Lord, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up out of here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight and your people? Is it not in you going with us that we are distinct, set apart, and your people from every other people on the face of the earth?" So you are called to be distinct. You are called to be set apart from the people out there. Not because you're better, but because you follow a holy God. Holiness, simple. It's simple. It just means set apart. The Holy Spirit is a set apart spirit. He's not like any other spirit. That's why anytime you hear me praying, I say this phrase, "No spirit but the Holy Spirit." That's because I don't want the spirit of depression. I don't want the spirit of pride. I don't want even things that people would find as good spirits. I don't want the spirit of excellence unless it's coming from the Holy Spirit. He's the only spirit that I want. The Bible is called holy, the Holy Bible. It's set apart. It's the words of God, not of man. It's holy. And holiness is not this legalistic thing where you're just following a set of rules. It's being Christ-like. It's living within the character and the will of God, not your own character, not your own will. In Hebrews 12:14, it says, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." This isn't some Old Testament writing where they're like, "Oh, well, you won't experience the Lord until you bring your goat and then you slit its throat and then sacrifice it and then your sins are forgiven and then you're okay." This is the New Testament. This is Paul writing this. Paul says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. It's harder to pray. It's harder to hear from God when you are living an unholy lifestyle. When I say unholy lifestyle, I don't mean you have a struggle. We all have struggles that we work through. What is an unholy life? An unholy life is simply living a life that accepts or practices things that oppose God. Not just practices, accepts. And there's a big difference between, I'm a Christian and you have free will. The Lord gave you free will. You can choose to do whatever you want. But I'm telling you, this is not my opinion. This is what the Bible says. That's wrong, and I can't align with that. That's different from, oh, well, you know, you do you, and you know, there's grace for that. It'll be fine. You know, God's full of mercy, so keep doing what you're doing. It's fine. Big difference. A lot of the times people mistake mercy and grace. They think that they're the same thing. It's far from it. Mercy is you not getting what you deserve. I'm a sinner. I deserve death. I deserve to be separated from a holy God for all eternity. But because Jesus came and has forgiveness for me, has mercy for me, I don't have to pay the price of my sins. I didn't get what I deserved. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. I don't deserve the presence in the Spirit of God. I don't deserve the gifts that He's given me. We don't deserve the empowerment that He gives us, yet He still gives it to us. And people use the phrase all the time, man, there's grace for that. But just let me ask you something. Just from the base of a word, when you look at an eagle flying and say, wow, that's graceful. Are you talking about, wow, that eagle knows how to forgive? Grace is not about forgiveness. It is empowerment. That eagle is graceful because it is empowered to be able to fly. A dancer is graceful because they are empowered to dance well. You are empowered to do everything that the Lord has for you. But you can't take that empowerment and then say, I'm empowered and I can still do whatever I want. Doesn't work that way. The original Greek word for grace is charis, which means to give a gift, undeserved favor, undeserved merit, or to be given empowerment. And to receive empowerment, you don't have to do good works. It doesn't work. You don't have to work your way up to empowerment. You are already empowered. When you receive Jesus, He empowers you to overcome the past life that you lived. You don't have to work up to it. However, there's no empowerment when you are choosing to live in an unholy way. Jesus offers empowerment like this, open-handed. You can either choose the empowerment or you can choose sin. That's all there is. We'll talk about that in a second. So how did the Holy Spirit arrive? Anyone know the particular day, what it's called? Pentecost. So in Acts chapter 2, I know I go through these verses fast, but we're putting all of these on YouTube. I encourage you, listen to them. Don't take my word for it. Look up the scriptures when you listen to it again. Acts 2, verse 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So Jesus sends the third part of the Trinity, a part of himself, a part of God, down to be with us on his behalf, to intercede. And intercede, I won't go into the original Greek because we don't have time, but it means to have a conversation, to petition on behalf of somebody else, or to come together. So the Holy Spirit is here to come together with you, to have a conversation with you, and then to go and petition God. That is the role of the Holy Spirit. It's like I've told you before, how do I know when God is speaking to me? He speaks to the Holy Spirit, who speaks to your spirit, who then speaks to you. Look at this, Romans 8, 26 through 27. In the same way the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weakness, we do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should. But the Spirit himself knows our need and at the right time intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words. How many of you have ever been praying and then you just get to the point where you don't know what to pray anymore? You feel something like, I need to be praying for something. I don't know what it is. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Groaning too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes before God on behalf of God's people in accordance with God's will. So when you are praying in tongues, you are stepping back and you are allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and tell you what to pray. This is why some of you have a hard time praying in tongues, because you're thinking too much about it. You need to surrender everything to the Holy Spirit. Allow him to speak. You can't be sitting there thinking like, oh, what word should I come up with? I don't even know what this word is. This Swahili, I have no idea. It's like, just stop. Allow him to move through you. Could be through clicks, I don't know. So how else does the Holy Spirit intercede for you? 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power, love, sound judgment, personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. The Holy Spirit comes to bring you hope, to bring you joy, to bring you the fruits of the Spirit, to help you grow those fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is why the Holy Spirit is so important. I'm sure you can tell by my tone, I'm not an extremely excitable guy, but I'm extremely passionate about the Holy Spirit, because this is so important for you. Literally, this is what it is. If you need peace, say, Holy Spirit, everything around me is complete chaos. Give me peace. He's your helper. It's what he is designed to do, to bring you peace. If you have a problem with self-control, say, Holy Spirit, teach me self-control. That's why he's there. He's there to teach you. He's there to help you. Lastly, the Holy Spirit helps you through conviction. A lot of people don't like this word. They think it's like, oh, judgmental. No, conviction is different. Biblical conviction has the goal of you going to God with that sin, with that struggle, and repenting. Conviction of the Holy Spirit is when he brings an awareness of the sin to you and shows you how that sin is keeping you away from a deeper relationship with God. That's conviction. Conviction pushes you closer to God. Condemnation, which does not come from the Holy Spirit, Condemnation comes from man. Condemnation speaks to your behavior and says, if you do better, if you're just a little bit better with this thing, then maybe you'll be good enough for God to like you. Maybe you'll be good enough for God to speak to you. It's that shame and condemnation that pushes you away from God and says, you're too dirty to talk to God today. He's mad at you because you're a filthy sinner. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. His goal is always to bring you closer to God. I mentioned this earlier. There's no empowerment if you are living in an unholy way. The Holy Spirit will not participate in your sin. He won't. And God's love never leaves you. His love never leaves you. He will always love you, no matter what you do. But his tangible presence will be withdrawn. The power will be withdrawn. We just talked about Samson a few weeks ago. The power, the tangible presence was withdrawn. The charging cable is withdrawn. And this is where people like to say, oh, but Jesus said he'd never leave us. Let's read that verse together. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Notice Jesus doesn't say, go therefore and do whatever you want, and I'll be with you. He doesn't say that. Do these things I have commanded, and behold, I will be with you. Let's look at another verse, Isaiah 59, 2. But your unholy living has made a separation between you and God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear.
Oh, but Pastor Matt, that's Old Testament. What about the New Testament, the New Covenant? Oh, grace.
You have mercy. When you're saved, you're saved. The tangible presence is the empowerment. You working through that empowerment to have that power. If you want to go and you want to lay hands on somebody and have them be healed, but then the next day you want to just go and do whatever you want, that's not the way that it works. This isn't in my notes, but there's a story in the Bible about these men going around. They were called the sons of Sceva. They're going around laying hands on people, trying to pray for people, claiming that they're Christians, claiming that they know Jesus. And they're saying, in the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, demon, come out of this person. The demons don't come out. The demons, through the person, end up beating the tar out of these guys. But the demon says something very, very important. The demon says, Jesus I know, Paul I've heard of, who are you? There was zero empowerment. Yet they're running around proclaiming the name of Jesus. Don't run around proclaiming the name of Jesus if you don't really know him. We've got too many people doing that already. John 3:20. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. When you're doing things in secret and you're refusing to come into the light, you're refusing to come into his tangible presence, ask yourself, why is there a refusal? What are you afraid of? And trust me, I've been through this. That's why it's so important for you guys to know it now. What are you afraid of? He's given you everything. You afraid that you'll be held to a standard? That you'll have to have some accountability? Really quickly, I want to go over three signs or three consequences of the presence being removed. If you're saved, if you have the Holy Spirit, or if you're saved, then you come in here and you feel the presence of God and it's like, ah, yes. And then you come in here other weeks and it's like, I don't feel anything. And listen, I'm not saying that you go and you hear from God. He's telling you all sorts of stuff for 1 week. And then the next week, you're trying to hear from God and you don't hear anything. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you're going into his presence. You're feeling his presence with you. And then the next week, you feel no presence. That's when you have to check. That's when you have to go to him and say, show me what I need to get rid of. Show me what has taken your place. Number one, you become spiritually exposed. You don't have God's covering. You don't have his protection in your life. And Satan knows when that's off. And you become an easy target. I love watching lions hunt. They're my favorite animal. They'll sit there and watch the water buffalo or the bison, whatever it is in the herd. They'll just literally sit and watch. This is the same thing that Satan does. Sitting, patiently waiting for that one water buffalo to come out from the protection of the herd, and then that's the one they go after. You never see lions jumping into the middle of the herd. That's kind of a death sentence. They're always waiting for the one. Number two, we become religious. I love this one. We begin to do things mechanically. We come to church, we sing the same song, completely empty of his presence, completely empty of his spirit, completely empty of a reverence for him. It becomes Christian karaoke. And then we're just singing a song just to sing a song because this is what we do on Sundays. And then you pray your prayer and it's an empty prayer. His presence isn't even in it. It sounds good, but he is not in it. It's mindless repetition. You become spiritually dry. Number three, spiritually you die. All sin is punished by death. The more and more that you live in sin, mentally, physically, spiritually, when you remove yourself from that source of life, when you remove yourself from his presence, when you remove yourself from Jesus, death. He's saved you. But you are in charge of connecting to the source of life, of connecting to the source of power. And going back to how I began this message, the Holy Spirit is the last person that we invite to church. He's the last person that we invite into our lives. Why is that? Seems like everything that he offers is such a benefit. You get a prayer language. When you don't know what to pray, he helps you to pray. He helps convict you. He wants you to come back into the presence of God. Not to mention the spiritual gifts, prophecy, healing, words of knowledge, all of these things that are available to you, yet People refuse to either believe in him or they don't want him. Just God is good enough for me. Why? Could it be that they don't want the conviction that he carries? Could it be that they want a comfortable, convenient religion that just makes them feel better about themselves? Listen, I love you guys. So whenever I say this, know that I love you and I care about you. If what you want is to get saved and then just wait around living your life to die so you can go to heaven, I'm not the pastor for you. I'm not going to let you do that. There's so much more for you. He has incredible things that he wants to do through you. It's like this. Imagine somebody builds the world's greatest gym really close to where you live. And then they say, hey, guess what? I've paid for you to have a lifetime membership to this gym. I've also squared away transportation for you. Free transportation to go to the gym. Also, I've bought the most nutritious and delicious food. It's all stocked in your refrigerator. You have a personal chef. You have a dietitian. It's great. They've bought your supplements, your vitamins, your protein powder, your creatine. They've bought everything for you. And then you sit at home. You don't go to the gym. You don't even utilize the things that they bought you. You sit on your couch, eating donuts, waiting to die. That's exactly what it's like. The Holy Spirit is so important for your life.